8:37. I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Matt Douglas.
It's the WEOL morning show for this holiday week. It's a bye week for the Browns. They didn't play. Fans in Ohio are kind of licking the wound because of the Ohio State loss. But Scott, your Northwestern Wildcats were winners over this weekend, so congratulations to you on having at least somewhat excitement to think about.
Yeah, thanks. It was a big win. They got a goal line stand to end the game, 9-2.
Well, let's talk about the other team in town here, the Cleveland Browns. They're on a bye week. Things sometimes happen over a bye week. The news, I guess, came out last week. Johnny Manziel named the starter. Does that mean that they're now preparing with Johnny? Do they change thing in the offense knowing that he'll be the starter from this point forward? Does anything happen like that?
Well, you know what? I think you can see some tweaks just because we all know that Johnny likes to get outside of the pocket. And, you know, Josh McCown also is a good athlete, but Johnny is much more inclined to get outside the pocket, scramble. You know, he likes rolling out. So you could see some more designed rollouts. But you started to see that when Johnny started this year. You know, against Pittsburgh you saw it. Against Cincinnati you saw it a little bit. So I don't think we're going to see wholesale changes like running the zone read offense or anything. But it'll be tweaked some.
And, of course, he's now got an extended time to kind of practice with the first team. So this bye week is quite helpful for him then.
Well, yeah. You know, and these 6 weeks are enormous for Johnny's future and, you know, the future of the Browns. If they continue to lose, they're going to have a top five pick in the draft, and they will probably have a decision to make. Do they take a quarterback in the draft or not? And a lot of that's going to come down to how Johnny plays over the final six games. It's not only dependent on that. You know, you have to trust Johnny off the field. That's a big part of the equation just because of Johnny's track record, you know, at Texas A&M and here. But if he plays well for the final six games, then that, you know, that changes the dynamic of the decision greatly.
Scott, what do the Browns want to look for here in Johnny Manziel as he steps onto the field? Because with the exception of some plays from Travis Benjamin and Barnage this year, I mean, the offense hasn't had much of a run game. I mean, what's Johnny supposed to do?
Well, I mean, he needs to play well as a quarterback. You know, I mean, quarterbacks play well without running games. Josh McCown hasn't had a running game, and he's had one of his, if not his best season, one of his best seasons. Johnny didn't have a running game against Pittsburgh and showed signs of progress. So that's what it boils down to. He's got to continue to make progress, and for him, that starts by making plays inside of the pocket. And we saw that against Pittsburgh, you know, before the bye week. He was able to stand in the pocket and make throws. Now, Pittsburgh played soft coverage. They were letting him make short throws because they were winning. So I don't think it might have been a true representation of what you're going to have to do at this level, what Johnny's going to have to do at this level. Defenses are going to adjust, try to stop him, and it's going to be up to Johnny to beat them. And first he needs to beat him with his arm, and if that's not there, then he can get outside the pocket and try to beat him with his legs. But he's going to have to show that he can take a five-step drop, hang in the pocket, and make a throw.
Of course, we also learned over the last week the no charges related to the police stop or whatever, so some of that can be put to rest. So there's more focus, I guess, on football, and he can kind of just concentrate on that. We're talking with Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram. When we talked with you last week after the game, we talked about Justin Gilbert being a healthy scratch, and you tried to get an answer out of Mike Pettine. Anything further develop over the last week or so related to that?
Well, you know, we talked to the secondary coach. We talked to all the position coaches Wednesday, right before the team left for the bye. And the secondary coach, Jeff Hafley, you know, I asked him, I said, is there anything off the field? Is it an effort thing? And he said, no. He said, it boils down to how Justin Gilbert practices. If he practices well and better than the rest of the cornerbacks, then he'll play. And he goes, the evidence of that was against Cincinnati on the Thursday night. He had a good stretch of practice. We played him. And then when we don't play him, it means he doesn't practice well. And he said it's not an effort, it's technique and consistency, and that Justin Gilbert has to show the coaches and his teammates that he deserves to be out there. So, you know, you can take that for what you want, but to me it's he's either not practicing hard enough, not practicing well enough, and he's kind of lost the coach's trust and maybe compared to some other guys that they who get the benefit of the doubt, he doesn't. He needs to prove on a weekly basis that he deserves to be out there, and for him, you know, that's not guaranteed that he's really up and down.
He was one that when he was drafted, people thought, oh, there's the best cornerback in the draft, or maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, that mouth, but it seems like what lost from what his ability was in college to the pros? Is it just a whole different game for him?
No, I mean, that's a great point. He was the number 8 pick in the draft. Mike Pettine wanted him. You know, he thought he was a perfect fit for the defense he plays. You know, press man, that he could stand on the line of scrimmage, you know, press the quarterback, bump and run, and go cover, and he's yet to show that. The head-scratcher for me is that talent is obvious. You know, there's a point during training camp when he was a rookie, there's a 3 or 4 day stretch that he looked like the best player on the field, and then that's gone away. You know, and I don't know if it's motivation with him, if he doesn't care that much about football. I believe that he just hasn't mastered the technique, but I don't think it's that hard to master that technique when you're that athletically gifted. So I'm not sure really what the stumbling block with him is. You know, last year we knew there was off-field issues. He was late for meetings. You know, at the end of the year, Mike Pettine called it, I think, a personal issue that he had. And that the coaches aren't willing to talk about that the same way this year. But it makes you wonder what the holdup is and why he can't get over the hump. It shouldn't be that difficult.
Well, the Browns have a little more time again because they don't play until next Monday night, the 30th, against the Baltimore Ravens. Now the Ravens are without Joe Flacco. So, of course, we thought they were going to be without Ben Roethlisberger for the Steelers, but obviously this is more serious for Flacco. But I guess what does that do for our chances then, I guess? Increase them greatly, I suppose, against the Ravens.
Well, yeah, it's huge. I mean, I'm pretty sure Joe Flacco has started every game of his career, and he's got a great record against the Browns. John Harbaugh, the coach, has never had a different quarterback start than Joe Flacco. They came in together. So it's huge. You know, he's got the torn ACL, and in addition to that, they lost their starting running back, Justin Forsett. He broke his arm yesterday. So, you know, Baltimore found a way to win yesterday. They're a resilient bunch, but there's no way that doesn't help the Browns' chances. Excuse me. Now you have Johnny Manziel going up against Matt Schaub, who's, you know, a journeyman quarterback. That's a big drop-off.
And of course, though, it's Manziel against the defense, so the obviously from a point standpoint, but from his playing perspective, it doesn't really affect what he'll face either.
No. You probably need to score fewer points to win, though, because you assume that Baltimore's offense won't be as potent without Joe Flacco and Justin Forsett. You know, Baltimore struggled all year. I think they have 3 wins, but they've been in every game. All the losses are by less than a touchdown, I believe. So, you know, I think when you look at the record, you go, oh, they're comparable. The Browns have been blown out in 4 straight games, and that's not the same. That's not the case for Baltimore.
Scott, we talk about this game coming up with Baltimore on Monday night. Of course, the Browns beat the Baltimore Ravens the last time they played against one another. Is there a pretty strong feeling that this is one the Browns should get and have to get going on here towards the end of the season? Because I don't think things get much easier for Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, I think the line out of Vegas is the Browns are favored by a point, so it's not like they're a giant favorite. It's tough. The way the Browns have been playing, I don't think you can expect them to beat anyone. But they need victories. I mean, you know, we talk about what Johnny needs to show in these final 6 games. The other storyline is that Coach Mike Pettine and General Manager Ray Farmer, they're fighting for their jobs as well. And it's hard to picture them keeping their jobs without multiple wins. I don't know what that number is. You know, if they go 3-3 with maybe a couple division wins, or 3-3 with a couple signature wins. You go to Seattle, let's say, and get a win there, or you beat a good Cincinnati team at home coming up. Those seem to be the type of scenarios you're looking for when you're trying to guess if Mike Pettine's going to have a job in Cleveland next year.
It seems to me that Mike Pettine's big thing was he came in here as a defensive-minded coach, and that's sort of gone to the wayside here this year. I mean, do we have to see some signs of life from this defense for Pettine to stick around too?
Well, I mean, I think that would help his chances. There's no doubt about it. You know, and that's the I think it's fair to say that that's the biggest disappointment of the team this season, is they've been unable to stop anybody, and that is where Mike Pettine made his career, on the defensive side of the ball. The Browns' defense was good last year. All the talk in the offseason was they were going to be a top-five dominant unit, and injuries have played a part, but that hasn't been all of it. You know, they still haven't figured out the run defense. I think there's some scheme issues involved. And, you know, the coaching staff, I think, is stubborn to an extent because the scheme has worked for them, but they don't have the horses to carry it out this year. I think at the end of the year when Mike Pettine's making his case to Jimmy Haslam, it'd be nice for him if he could say, hey, look, over the final six games, we've figured some things out. That's not really representative of what my defenses do.
Of course, the month of December has not been kind to the Cleveland Browns over the years, but even though we kind of have this thing about, well, we're a cold weather team and, you know, the stadium, that type of thing, but I guess when it all ends, we'll kind of know it when we know it as to what's going to happen with the future. But we'll talk again next Monday prior to the Baltimore game. And again, you can check out Scott Petrick and the Chronicle Telegram and also Twitter @ScottPetrick. Thanks, Scott, for your time.
Thanks, Scott.
It is 8:49 at WEOL.